Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And as we do on Darting Across Connecticut, we try to give you as much insight into these communities, and we're always struck by, you know, the volunteerism, the service, how many people spend their whole lives here, how many people have been here for generations. And, you know, we're excited to talk to the first selectman. Also, we'll talk with a town historian later this hour. We'll talk with a business owner and a school principal in the next hour. And so I want to welcome in Nick Lakuski. Is that right? Did I say it right?
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, first selectman here in town, and also a captain in the police force in Waterbury, correct?
Yes, that's true.
So how long is the ride? This is such an interesting area because it is it's Litchfield County, right? And
yeah.
So what is it, like a half an hour to Waterbury? Like how much time is it?
A little bit more, depending on the time of day, but about 40 minutes is a nice casual ride in.
You working today?
I will be later, yes.
How do you balance the both of them?
It's been very difficult. It is. Two full-time jobs is I bit off a lot.
So is it the top vote getter gets the first selectman job? How does it work in the town government?
We run for that position
okay.
Specifically, and I did. I was on the board for 6 years before, so I was a second selectman for 6 years, and the opportunity kind of presented itself. I knew I could handle the work, but it's been very difficult. A lot of sacrifices were made to make that work. So actually, as we get into this election season, I decided not to run for re-election as the first selectman. So.
But you want to stay on
town
council?
I'm on the ballot. Yeah, first, the Board of Selectmen.
Board of Selectmen, but you don't want to be the top dog.
It deserves someone who can give it a lot more time than I can, and my family deserves a little bit more time than I've been giving them for the last 2 years.
But generally, I mean, your first career is of service, and your second career is of service. You know, what made you get involved in the first place?
It's nice to be impactful and be part of your community, know what's happening, and have some input on all the decisions that are made. But in a small town like this, the way the Connecticut municipalities, these smaller municipalities are set up, the Board of Selectmen, you think the first selectman as the CEO of the town, don't really have that much authority. But you have a lot of important decisions to make, like everywhere else.
So is it just sort of like everyone on the Board of Selectmen has equal votes, but you just sort of run the show in terms of the meetings and execution of that stuff?
And the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
But the Board of Finance decides how much money we get to spend. The Board of Education is completely autonomous. Planning and zoning, they have a tremendous amount of power that the first selectmen, that they don't have a lot of influence over. And every town's set up that way. They all can kind of... Yeah, they all have their own responsibilities under Connecticut statute.
I got a ton of questions for you. And we're talking with Nick Lakuski, who is the first selectman here in Barkhamsted. Where were you born and raised?
Springfield, Mass.
Okay, because you went to Westfield State.
Yeah.
And how'd you end up here?
I was a police officer first. I followed my, who she's not now my wife, but my girlfriend at the time, down to Virginia Beach.
It's a nice spot.
Yeah. So after Westfield, she got a job as a teacher down there. I followed her down there. Shortly after that, I became a teacher. She was a teacher. I became a police officer down there. And I knew that we were going to spend our lives together, but we knew we wanted to be closer to family. So we started looking for jobs, and this is back in the late mid-90s. We're looking for jobs back in New England. We both wanted to come back. She's from Pittsfield, Mass., and Woodbridge, Connecticut, hired me. So I came to Woodbridge for a couple of years, and then I wanted to be in a city, and Waterbury presented the opportunity to me, and I went there.
So this is sort of like a midpoint between Western Mass and Waterbury.
Then, I was able to get to Springfield. My family since moved on, but I was able to get to Springfield in less than an hour, and she can get to Pittsfield in less than an hour, and we live here in God's country. Pittsfield is a beautiful place. The Berkshires are wonderful, and Park Hampstead is really a special jewel right in the middle.
Well, the interesting thing is you said your family moved on. I just want one last question here, because you could have probably upgraded or shifted or changed or gone somewhere else. What kept you here?
Oh, this is a special place. It really is.
Why?
It's beautiful. The location's ideal. We have our nice rural community. We have all of the forest, the parks, the river. You know, really one of the main reasons I came here is I was a fly fisherman, and so I was drawn to the Farmington River long before I lived here. So once I was able to convince my wife that this is where we needed to be, it wasn't hard once she started spending some time here herself, that the Farmington River is a special place.
I got so many questions for you. Has the fishing changed? One of my colleagues has done a ton of hydrilla stories and stuff like that. Like, how's the river?
It's healthy. It's okay. Very healthy. The DEP was on that early. It was identified very early. They've done some things to mitigate it, but it hasn't been very impactful here. I know some of the other rivers in Connecticut are having some more difficult times, but. The fly fishermen here are very aware of it, so they're doing a lot of education to make sure that they're not transmitting it around in their boots, and making sure the guys are at least educated and aware of the how impactful, how terrible that could be for the river. And
I was just curious. It wasn't on my list of questions, but since you said you were a fisherman, this is a town less than 4,000 people. This might be 26th, we're hoping to get all 169. And, Meriden recently got rid of their volunteer fire department. We see volunteerism is a challenge. Does Connecticut, I'll ask you how it is here, because you have to rely on volunteerism, I'm sure of it. Does Connecticut need to go, I don't know if it's county, or do you need to link up more with surrounding towns for services? I mean, it's really difficult for small towns to sustain these things.
Well, for emergency services and public safety.
You already do, right?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. And the volunteer fire department, as in most towns, they run pretty independently from town government. They're an amazing group of guys who and girls who do just so much sacrifice on a weekly basis. They're together training, and they make themselves available for calls, and there'll be a dozen calls or more a week. And
are there that many?
Yeah,
because mostly seniors and stuff, or
it could be anything from a fall to a smell of smoke in the area, a car accident with fluid leaks. Yesterday we had some power lines down, a tree came down, knocked some power lines down, so we needed people to direct traffic around that. There's always a need for things are happening just like anywhere else. But during the day, most of our younger volunteers are working, so they're not here in town. We have one member of our town highway crew who's a volunteer fireman who will break away, so he's here in town. We have one full-time fireman who works for the entire district, for the entire town. He's here Monday through Friday, so he picks up a lot of the administrative stuff, but also available to at least be a first man on scene. But we do. We rely on New Hartford and Colebrook and Heartland and
Those bustling cities.
Yeah, but they all work together well. They're all they share resources. It's an amazing system that they've been forced to put in place.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful area. I mean, I love it up here. I've been driving my kids up to Ski Sundown for years and stuff like that. So one of my sons has a friend in Riverton near the general store, and it's just I love driving up here, even though I can't get cell service sometimes. we're talking with Nick Lukuski here, the first electman. Just really quickly, is that your biggest challenge, sort of like the resource element? Like, just give me your biggest challenge as a leader in this town, and also what's going.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner. In the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well,
the state... And the changes that the state is always trying to mandate on towns for housing and the education mandate, there's these costs that keep coming down.
Too much. So you're glad they vetoed that housing bill?
Absolutely, because it just didn't fit us. I don't know how we can increase density when we don't have sewage systems, when we don't have public water supply. To increase that kind of housing density to what would be required to get the cost down to that level would be millions of dollars for us to bring in a sewage system from our surrounding town. We could. Winchester has sewage, and New Hartford does, but to bring it here would be miles worth of sewage lines, and it would be tens of millions of dollars to run that. So without an immense amount of money from the outside, that's just not possible for us.
Well, and obviously, growth is something that's delicate around here. We run into this. You want to maintain the character of the place, but you want to have some sort of growth. What's going great here? Really quickly, we have 30 seconds.
Okay. Volunteerism. While we're,
really?
To get people to be on our boards and commissions is sometimes hard, but all of our other groups are great. We have Phelps, Friends of the American Legion, and People State Forest. They do an immense amount of work maintaining the trail system and working with DEP. The Farmington River, there's a couple different committees, coordinating committee, Farmington River Watershed Association. They do so much in preserving the Farmington River. You're going to meet Paul Hart in a little while, who from the Historical Society. They don't just preserve stuff, but they do events on a regular basis. They have a pig roast coming up. I'm sure you're going to hear about.
Nice.
The people in this town are coaches who do all the youth athletics. We're very, very active. And if you've been up in Riverton, you've probably driven by our baseball field there.
Yeah.
And that's really just an amazing place.
Yeah.
I've never seen a baseball field like that, a Little League field, situated in such a location, but also just maintained in such a great way. We have such wonderful people up there.
Well, Nick, listen, we're out of time. It's great to meet you. And it sounds like, it's going to be a short term as the top executive, but a good one. And obviously, balancing life is important. We appreciate the time. We appreciate you having us in your town.
Yeah. Welcome here. And don't tell too many people about how great this is.
Well, they're listening right now. Nick Lukuski, the first electman here.